Big show for you here today. We recap a couple of, let's be honest, rough Monday Night Football games off the top. We talked through everything you need to know. Vikings, Bears, Falcons, Raiders. Get through that quick. Then Dalton Del Don joins the show for another edition of the Fantasy Bros Trust Meter. We talk through what Jahmyr Gibbs is going to look like without David Montgomery. Can you trust guys like Derrick Henry, Tyreek Hill, Joe Mixon, Cooper Kupp after some devastating performances in Week 15? Also, are we buying into what Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers are putting in the stat sheet right now? All that and more, including players that you need to pick up heading into Week 16. All that and more coming up on today's show. Let's get into it. It's Tuesday, December 17th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast presented by Spectrum. And it is a hell of a day to talk ball. Before we dive into the Fantasy Bros Trust Meter, the guys you need to target off the waiver wire for Week 16 with Dalton Del Don, like we do every Tuesday, because consistency is important, we recap the Monday Night Football action. And we have two games that happened here on Monday night to talk through. What a couple of doozies we've got to discuss here. By the way, this will be our final Monday Night Football recap of the season. Not because these two games broke me spiritually, physically, and mentally, although maybe that has something to do with it. Just with the holiday schedule next week, which we'll talk through holiday schedules for the pod when that time comes, once we get kind of through some of this Week 16 action. But just with some holiday schedules and the fact that, look, like, the Saints are playing on Monday Night Football next week. Come on, you don't need to. Christmas morning, Christmas Eve morning, let me fire up a Matt Harmon recap on damn Packer Saints. You probably don't need that in your life. So this will be our final Monday Night Football recap. So let's talk through these two games. Vikings 30, Bears 12. By the way, you know it's pretty tough when we're talking through two football games. So do the math, people. That is four quarterbacks, and by far the most stable quarterback, the best quarterback of the bunch by a lot, is Sam Darnold. No disrespect to Sam Darnold, but a lot of disrespect to the other three quarterbacks that took the field on Monday night here in Week 15. The Vikings, you know, this is a really good team. They have an offense that can hurt you in multiple ways. Justin Jefferson had another big fantasy game with seven catches for 73 yards and a touchdown. Should have been even more. He dropped a pass near the goal line earlier in the game. He also had another pass that he probably could have walked into the end zone if he was maybe a little bit better placed. But Sam Darnold delivered it. Like I said, it could have been maybe a little bit better placed. He went down at the 1 yard line. Whatever. In your fantasy postseason, you get seven catches for 73 yards and a touchdown, 13 targets. You got to feel pretty good about that. If you have Justin Jefferson in fantasy, that should be more than enough for you to advance to the next round. The Bears talked about this matchup with this defense a lot this week. According to Next Gen Stats, Jalen Johnson lined up against Justin Jefferson on 16 of 40 routes. And Jefferson was only targeted once for an 8 yard reception. Across the 23 other routes against all the other Bears defenders, that's where Jefferson accumulated all of his other production there. So Johnson's a great quarterback, really good player. He's one of the better perimeter defenders in the league, but he's not a guy that travels consistently with number one defenders. And I do think that we've seen, you know, this defense take a step back without Matt Eberflus there, or at least Matt Eberflus' attention being all over the place in the second half of the season. So this matchup didn't end up being like a game-destroying sort of situation for Justin Jefferson. He ended up having a pretty big performance here. Like I said, could have been even better if not for that drop and the tackle at the 1 yard line. Jordan Addison still manages to come through with a couple of clutch receptions. TJ Hockenson is a factor here. This Vikings offense is just, it's so smooth. The broadcast is talking about it a ton. Kevin O'Connell deserves a ton of credit with what he's done with Sam Darnold. I do think that Darnold will play elsewhere in 2025. I think it will be interesting to see what team that is. And I think he can, as long as it's a good ecosystem, which honestly, the team that signs Sam Darnold is probably not going to end up being a good ecosystem, so it's going to be a little bit unfortunate there. But as long as it's a pretty good ecosystem with a couple of good surrounding players in the pass catching department, I think Darnold can find success. You know, I think he can do sort of what Baker is doing in Tampa Bay right now. Maybe a Diet Coke version of what Geno is doing in Seattle right now. There's no reason that can't happen. Again, it just has to be the right ecosystem. If you're just looking at the box score and you're seeing Cam Akers with 10 carries and like, oh no, is that a problem for Aaron Jones, who also had 18 carries and a touchdown of his own right? Wouldn't worry about that. A lot of Akers' work came in the second half. Aaron Jones is still a locked in fantasy running back for your postseason run here. Don't worry about that too much. Man, the Vikings, again, just continue to roll on. They're winning a bunch of games here. I think they're a team that can win a playoff game. The Bears don't look capable of winning anything very soon. Tyson Bagent made an appearance in this game late. And, man, I mean, this was one of those games where you just – I know Caleb's not perfect. He misfired on a couple of throws. He held onto the ball too long. I get it. But, man, I mean, he was just under duress all night long, consistently under pressure. He only took 2 sacks, which honestly to me was like a freaking miracle in this game, because I thought he was going to go down several times and he just barely escaped the grasp of the Vikings defenders in the pass rush department. It's just a mess. I mean, that I don't even really know what to say that we haven't said 1,000 times about Chicago. I was surprised that the run game was as effective as it was, but to me, just based on some of the defensive fronts, I thought Minnesota was maybe conceding the run a little bit and daring Caleb Williams to push the ball down the field. Caleb Williams was not capable of pushing the ball down the field. It was like one thing after another. You know, Roma Dunze got free for play in the back of the end zone at one point in the second half. Caleb just missed him. Another play, it looked like it could have been on a scramble drill, a touchdown to Roma Dunze, and then Keenan Allen like literally got in the way of the pass. And then later in the game, what should have been a touchdown, like a contested catch, back shoulder type pass for Roma Dunze to Caleb Williams, he just doesn't make the play, just doesn't catch the ball. There's been too many instances, and I'm a big Rome guy, there's just been too many instances this year where he has left plays on the field in the contested catch department. Hopefully that can get cleaned up next year. You know, Keenan's probably not back on this team. I know Keenan ends up with a decent fantasy game in this one, but he was not a net positive player. DJ Moore was not a net positive player. Basically, all they can do with DJ Moore right now is dump it off in the short areas to him. I think this offense just, again, it needs to be completely blown up in the offseason. It needs to be completely remade. Hopefully they get a new coach who can get in here to do this. For the rest of the season, you know, it's been a while since I felt like, oh yeah, you can really count on starting a Bears player, and I don't think you're doing that anytime soon. I know that the Lions defense is super banged up right now, but does anybody really feel good about starting any of these Bears players next week against the Lions outside in Chicago? I don't. You know, we'll talk about it throughout the week. Maybe we get to a point where it's like, okay, this matchup looks pretty good for this Bears player. And, you know, maybe it does become like a really high key shootout because of all the injuries at every level for Detroit's defense. But man, I don't feel comfortable about it just with the offensive product that we've seen so far for the Chicago team. Let's talk about the other game here. God, Falcons 15, Raiders 9. I posed this question on Twitter at one point late in this game. How many other teams beat the Falcons in this matchup? Because the Raiders are not an NFL team, that's for sure. If they were an NFL team, I think they take down this Falcons team that is 6-7 and second in their division. I mean, Kirk Cousins, it's hopeless, man. It's hopeless. I don't know what to say about Kirk either. This is so brutal. He's struggling at this point to like hand the ball off on some of these perimeter stretch runs, these outside zone concepts that have been the foundation of this Falcons offense. And I think he's struggling moving just to get to that point. I mean, this is worse than the final season of Peyton Manning's career, where he could barely move and you could barely throw and they won the damn Super Bowl. This is worse than that. Way, way worse than that, in my opinion. Cousins just can't move. He's making mistakes pre and post snap. That's, again, the big difference between him and like that final season Super Bowl winning Peyton Manning team. It's just an untenable situation. And I really wonder what the Falcons calculus is here. You know, they get a matchup next week. They get a matchup next week against the Giants, which, I mean, the Giants are hopeless too, but with the way things went against the Raiders, I know it was on the road. This next game against the Giants will be at home. But the way things went against the Raiders, like, how can you feel great about them putting up a number against a bad Giants defense? The one thing they will definitely be able to do is run the ball. Bijan Robinson has been absolutely fantastic player all year. 125 yards on 22 carries. I mean, shoot, they might want to give him the ball 125 yards, and it's 125 times in a game considering the way Kirk looks right now. A lot of off-tackle production according to Next Gen. 86.4% of his yards came on outside the tackle runs. You get him on the perimeter, he can cook. Just hopefully Kirk can get over there to the perimeter to get him the ball. Man, it's just brutal with Kirk Cousins right now. I really don't think I'm exaggerating it. It's tough. He can't move. He can't really push the ball down the field unless it's a wide open window, like to Drake London's double move touchdown against Jack Jones on the outside. So yeah, man, I think this is like the best you can hope to get out of. Like, we're hoping for this type of floor performance from Drake London every single week. Maybe it's a lot of catches and yards. Maybe it's one touchdown. That's great. If you started Darnell Mooney in your fantasy playoff matchup, you got a zero. A week 15 here is bookended by a Cooper Kupp zero and a Darnell Mooney zero. Probably a lot of people lost their matchups because of those. That's brutal, but it's not too surprising that the vertical outside receiver struggled here with the way Kirk Cousins is playing right now. And like, I've highlighted the man zone splits for Kirk before. There was a lot of man coverage plays in this one that Kirk was just not making. So I think we're just at a point where it's over for Kirk with this Falcons team. And I don't know if we're going to see Penix at some point this year, but I do think we'll see Penix in 2025, and they'll just figure out how that transition is going to go. We saw him too much, you know, like side-by-side shots, him holding the jersey and stuff on the sideline. I think we're getting close here to Penix time. Even if it's not this year, it will be next year. Let's talk about the Raiders here real quick. Like I said, not even really an NFL team. Desmond Ridder, what a mess. I mean, Ridder must have picked up on how to not throw to a highly drafted tight end in Atlanta, because didn't throw a lot to Brock Bowers in this game. 3 catches for 35 yards. I've liked a lot of what the Raiders have done from a passing game concept standpoint, with Scott Turner and North Turner sharing the box up there. Desmond Ridder is just not going to show that to you. Ridder is not I don't even know if he's a backup caliber quarterback in the NFL. If he's starting down the stretch, I mean, you just can't feel great about Jacoby Myers. You can't feel great about Brock Bowers. 9 targets. It took a minute for Myers to get cooking in this game in a positive matchup. We're sadly at a point where we're hoping, from a fantasy standpoint, if you got to start Myers, if you got to start Brock Bowers, you're hoping that Aiden O'Connell's out there, because at least that guy can stand and deliver the football. Ridder is just not capable of doing that. The big bummer in this game is Sincere McCormick. After 7 carries for 1.1 yards per carry, a lot of people did probably start this guy. He left the game with a knee injury and was ruled out in the second half. So that's the Raiders, man. They're not winning a lot of games right now because they are not even really an NFL team. They will pick either first or second in the draft, and they'll try it all over again with another quarterback answer here. They've got some guys to potentially build around in like Myers and Brock Bowers. But beyond that, this team does not have a lot of talent. They have a lot of issues on both sides of the ball, and it's a long, long rebuilding process. Dropping a rookie quarterback into this is not going to make them a competitive team. But hey, they were better than the Falcons, which, like I said, I think a lot of teams could have beat the Falcons in this matchup. All right. With that, our final Monday Night Football recap is in the books. Let's throw it to Dalton and the rest of the show. Let's get into it. Joining us now, as he always does here on the Tuesday show, it is my good friend, Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Harmon? I just had to sit through a pretty miserable Thursday night game with the 49ers through rain and no touchdowns. I meant to look it up before we started recording. Was that the lowest scoring game of the season? Had to be one of them, but it wasn't exactly epic. Niner season officially finished. I got to see it in person, and brutal game with Campbell refusing to return to the game and all that. But yeah, man, let's talk about anything other than the Niners for now, I guess.
I was going to say the Niners season died like it lived. Miserable for the fans, uninspiring from the offense, and a little bit of weird drama along the way, which is the Devondre Campbell stuff. So yeah, that was pretty tough. It wasn't great. Really unfortunate. I mean, yeah, just obviously That's pretty brutal. So I'm sorry that you had to see that, Dalton, but we don't have to talk about the 49ers, I don't think, at any point during the show. So at least there's that.
All right. Fair enough. Let's talk some trust. Yeah, fantasy playoffs, a bunch of high scores. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about for sure.
Yes, as Dalton mentioned, we got a lot to get into today. Specifically, another round of the Fantasy Bros Trust Meter.
There should be a set of rules that govern the way bros comport themselves among other bros.
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers gotta hug.
I just need you to trust me. That's all. Please.
Here's how this works. If you missed last week's show, Dalton and I each have four candidates. We're going to alternate between, put them through the trust meter and debate our level of trust in them for their upcoming matchup this week. Maybe a little slight look ahead to the next week as well. There are three tiers to the Fantasy Bros trust meter. There's Trust Me Bro, which is the highest level of trust. No Idea Man, this means it could go either way, or I'm a pass, which is no trust at all. Dalton, before we actually go through our candidates, we had a suggestion from Jason, our creative director. I like to call him graphics man in chief, but I suppose creative director is a much better title for our guy Jason here. He suggested we discuss Jahmyr Gibbs without David Montgomery because David Montgomery is, this sucks. He is out for the rest of the season. And man, he is just one of the many, many Lions players who are now on IR, much less guys who've just missed time with injuries this year. I mean, Aleem McNeil was also placed on IR today. Those two guys just got big contracts in the middle of the year. Just a brutal year injury. I know this sounds annoying to you as a Niners fan. They have also had a brutal year beyond just injuries, like personal tragedies, things like that. It's been a tough year for the 49ers. But man, from an injury perspective, the words of Dan Campbell, you know, after losing to your Lions, losing to your 49ers in the playoffs last year, this is going to be hard to get back here, right? Like that's sort of ringing in my head with all of these injuries going on right now for Detroit. But Jahmyr Gibbs could see a pretty decent bump without Dave Montgomery from a fantasy perspective. So coming off like not a great rushing performance is Jahmyr Gibbs, but a 2-touchdown outing with no David Montgomery going forward, Dalton, where does Jahmyr Gibbs fall on the trust me meter?
All these injuries really suck for the Lions. They seem to have taken over as America's team. I think they're 15 defensive players on IR, and now Montgomery, such a bummer. Gibbs with three games without Montgomery last year, 23 touches per game, 132 total yards per game, and 2 touchdowns. John Daigle points out there are three other games where Montgomery left mid-game, and Gibbs scored 2 touchdowns in all three of those contests. So
wow.
The only argument is he RB1 or RB2, but with Barkley banged up and missing snaps and looking at the Lions' schedule over the next 2 weeks, yeah, I think Gibbs is the fantasy RB1 down the stretch.
Yeah, particularly with this matchup against the Chicago Bears in week 16, the Bears have struggled to defend some of those perimeter runs. You would imagine they're going to get Jahmyr Gibbs on the edge pretty frequently, you know, some pin pull concepts as well with Gibbs. He's made a ton of big plays on those for Detroit over the last couple of years. I think I like this take. I think Jahmyr Gibbs could be the highest scoring fantasy back in the postseason. As somebody with Jahmyr Gibbs in two leagues, I don't ever want to see players injured, but I'm at least excited about the opportunity that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have down the stretch. We'll see. Actually, the league we're in together and with our buddy Edwin Porras, I'll know if I manage to survive based on Monday Night Football. But yeah, if we make it to next week, we got Jahmyr Gibbs locked and loaded as running back 1. I like this take by you, Dalton.
Yeah, we'll see maybe some Craig Reynolds, Viaki, if I said that name right. But for the most part, Gibbs is going to go crazy down the stretch. I know that they're missing some pieces on that roster, but it's still locked and loaded to score. Maybe I'll just have to score 40 points every week with all the injuries on defense. But yeah, Gibbs, definitely an argument for the RB1 down the stretch. I have Gibbs in a league we also played together with some Yahoo internal, and I had the number 1 seed, and I weirdly looked at it, and it, for some reason they started this, didn't have a bye this week. They started the playoffs in week 15, and then it ends next week, and I happen to have a few Niners like Jennings and Purdy, you know, crap the bed on Thursday night in front of me, so I'm probably going to be out of that league, even though I do have Gibbs, and he made a comeback, but probably going to end that tonight, because weirdly, having a matchup week 15 instead of a bye this week, which I should be sitting comfortably. But that's neither here nor there. Gibbs is going to win fantasy championships.
Yeah, I'm also, I was perturbed to find out that this was the second week of the postseason. Questionable. Questionable. Maybe they listened to one of the episodes where I complained along the way about, you know, maybe championships should just go back to week 16 or whatever. I don't know. That's what it was.
That one caught me off guard, but that's the one with the TV show, right? The bear, right? That's what we're talking about. Everyone has the bear, as their team names. Right. Yeah. But so be it. Everyone has their sad stories, but, you know what I keep waiting for, Harmon, where I talk about the championship, I'm waiting for that Mahomes pass to Worthy be turned into a forward pass. And then all the controversy, everyone's leagues getting frustrated. Cause man, that one looked close, that 21 yard rush they gave to Worthy. But, good luck to everyone still out there in your fantasy playoffs.
Yeah. I've gotten a couple tweets about that. Like, this needs to be corrected to a pass or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll get right on that. I have the board right here in my home office. I'll go ahead and flip the switch, the pass switch on that one. But okay, let's get into our candidates here, Dalton. Let's get it started with your first submission, which is Derrick Henry, another highly scoring running back this year, not coming off his best performance. It wasn't the worst performance in the world against the New York Giants. It wasn't a total dud, but by Derrick Henry's standards, his week 15 outing against a very, very generous New York Giants defense, not ideal. So with a matchup this week against the Steelers run defense, frankly, you know, not so, the Texans in week 17, also not a great run game matchup as well. How are we feeling about the big dog headed into week 16 and 17?
Yeah, Henry's coming off his lowest running back rush share of the season in week 15, just 58%. First time it's been below 75% all season. Baltimore had actually trailed 65% of the time the previous four games, but this was supposed to be the setup for Henry with his massive splits and, you know, and wins and losses. The Ravens were the biggest favorites of the season this last week. Harmon, 17 points. It weirdly worked. Game script in his favor, but until it didn't. The game became such a blowout, he actually sat for most of the fourth quarter for Rashan Ali. So maybe it's just a one-week blip, but Henry was the RB fantasy RB1 weeks 1 through 9. He's been the RB20 over the last 6 weeks. He's supposed to be legendary in these colder months, and now he has matchups against Steelers at Houston. Baltimore might be trying to get Lamar another MVP trophy, all that throwing this last week. So I think obviously we're starting Henry, but kind of a no idea man of exactly what we're getting. He has not been that league winner over the past 6 weeks that we had over the first half of the season.
Yeah. So since week 10, 13.6, 10.5, 14, 12.6, and then this lowly worst of the season, 6.7 fantasy points in Yahoo standard scoring, which is half PPR, of course. I'm kind of with you in terms of it being a little bit more of a no idea man, just in terms of what we're going to get. Obviously, you're trusting Derrick Henry, the player. You're playing him. There's no chance if he's on your roster that he's on your bench. But I like this kind of call by you that to point out that, hey, like from a results perspective, it's been a minute since we've seen a monster Derrick Henry game. I mean, look, he averaged 5.8 yards per carry, 24 carries against the Chargers in week 12. He just didn't find the end zone. He hasn't found the end zone since week 11. And I will say this is a game that, I mean, Baltimore has every incentive to try and win in week 16 on Saturday. If they win this game, they're back in sort of like potential division AFC North winner territory here. That could be, you know, much better seeding for them. They're not going to get a first round bye. I don't think that's pretty much off the table, but they can win their division. They can have a home playoff game, maybe two home playoff games, depending on the matchups, things like that. This is a big game for them. And I look, this is always stupid because I just never get this. I never get this rivalry right, but I do feel a little bit better about the Ravens than I do about the Steelers right now, especially if George Pickens is not healthy for this game.
Yeah, they really missed Pickens last week. But to be clear, this isn't a Henry's washed or age catching up thing, no. Or I don't think he's injured either. I was just listening to Pat Corrine say that the two best rush yards over expectation seasons since they started recording that are this year's Barkley and Henry's right behind him. So like this isn't, it's a role issue going on here. And it's been that way for a month now. So, but maybe again, they were trailing in the games before last week. Maybe that's the aberration. Maybe they start playing with the lead here and we go back to massive performances from Big Dog. But whatever, for whatever reason, he just has not been the same fantasy production that he was over the first half of the year.
Yeah, no, no TJ Watt potentially in this game. I don't know. He could end up playing. We'll see about that one. But this is a team in Pittsburgh that plays a lot of man coverage. right? Whereas last week, Lamar Jackson really tore apart zone coverage against the ball. Well, I mean, he tore up everything. He threw five touchdowns, but only one of his touchdowns came against man coverage against the New York Giants. So we'll see. I think this ends up being a little bit more of a bigger Derrick Henry game. So I still think No Idea Man's the right way to frame it just because this role has been a little bit different. But overall, he's still a player that we're definitely trusting. Here's one that I'm pretty concerned about. JSN with Sam Howell. If, let's just say, Sam Howell has to start week 16 versus the Minnesota Vikings. Dalton Deldon, not ideal. JSN's obviously been great. He's the wide receiver 7 on the season. He's been one of the best picks you can make. He's been great in the second half of the year. He did catch 10 passes in this game, partly with Sam Howell, but mostly with Geno Smith on Sunday Night Football. But how are you feeling about JSN if we get a Sam Howell start behind center?
Yeah, JSN since week 8, 21.4 PPR points, 28% target share. Metcalf since week 8, 9.8 PPR points, 22% target share. JSN had the league's fourth highest first read target share last week, Harmon, 50%. But if we're assuming Geno's out, I'm going to lean, I'm a pass here because our guy Sam Howell posted a dude, did you see his completion percentage over expectation? Minus 33% was in the first percentile after replacing Geno. He also stayed on brand, took 4 sacks on just 14 pass attempts. 19 dropbacks. He only completed 5 passes. That's happened 20 times in the last 25 seasons. The mini matchup could be good for receivers, the kind of a pass funnel, but also Brian Flores' defense could just shut out Sam Howell. So I'm leaning toward I'm a pass here with JSN if Howell's throwing him the football.
Yeah, I think it's a No Idea Man that leans probably heavily into I'm a pass as well, which is tough. I mean,
sucks.
Realistically, can you bench JSN for the fantasy playoffs? Like, it depends on the other guys on your roster. Obviously, some of these other players that we'll talk about on this pod, I'm probably going to end up ranking here. But yeah, I'd love to be in a position where I could pass on JSN if Sam Howell's under center. Now, if it's Geno, I think it's okay, and I would be playing JSN confidently, of course, even in this difficult matchup, because the Vikings, they can give up passing yards, but they are more of like to the perimeter, to the edges is where they're like the outside cornerbacks you can beat. So maybe DK Metcalf finally has a big play since, you know, freaking October or whatever. We'll see about that. But yeah, I'm concerned about this JSN matchup for sure, potentially with Sam Howell under center. He is somebody that I do not feel great about. And yeah, I would lean towards I'm going to pass on this one. Let's talk through your next one, which is a wide receiver I certainly feel better about right now, because in the sliding scale of backup quarterbacks, Mac Jones attached to Brian Thomas Jr. is a better bet than Sam Howell behind the Seahawks offensive line. So you want to talk Brian Thomas Jr., who is the wide receiver 6 on the season, Dalton Deldon.
Yeah, clear trust me, bro. Even with the quarterback situation, since the bye, 3 games for Brian Thomas Jr., he would have been the wide receiver 2 on the season. Has a 30% target share over that span. That's also the second highest on the year. So before his pre-chest injury, weeks 1 through 8, he had a 2.81 yards per route run that would have been the best rookie wide receiver season since 2021. He was clearly hampered by that chest injury when you're looking at his overall stats, you know, drafting next year. Remember that those weeks he was more of a decoy. And he's doing this with Mac Jones. Harmon, they fed him 5 screens last week, tied for the most by a wide receiver in any game this season. Also, did you see the reports that the Chargers, who knows how true it is, but they were supposedly debating Brian Thomas Jr. and Joe Alt and not Malik Nabers? That was their debate internally. That's how highly they thought of Thomas Jr. He had another potential fingertips out of the end zone and another big play downfield. And 2 weeks ago, you know, he left 1 million unrealized air yards on the field. So he was close to having bigger games. Obviously, Mac Jones will hold him back in the short term. But still, I like the matchups. And no Evan Ingram. So he's going to keep getting fed. I'm trusting him this season and loving him next year. I mean, it's a race to who can draft Brian Thomas Jr. faster for me next year. I know that you've been a little, let's pump our brakes, so maybe you can reel me back in, but man, he just looks so awesome. I just already love watching him play, and I can't wait if he actually got competent quarterback play.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing now, and look, obviously it took a lot of teammates getting eliminated from the equation to really get all this volume, right? I mean, Christian Kirk is gone. Evan Ingram is gone. Even Gabe Davis is not playing for this team anymore. But we're finally seeing him being used in more full field ways, which I did want to see. So I think if he could and by the way, this is exactly how his season mapped last year in college, where at the beginning of the year, it was mostly splash big play stuff. By the end of the season, LSU was using him in more full field wide receiver ways. And that was what really sold me on him as a prospect, was that you could map consistent and steady improvement throughout the course of his final college season. So even if some of his production profile wasn't fully what some people want that do a lot of that data analysis, I think the fact that he was getting better and developing on the job in his final year as a collegiate player was really what made him like a clear-cut first-round pick to me. And then the fact, but again, even that sounds like it's underselling him at this point. And I think we're seeing that again here as a rookie, is that we're seeing consistent improvement over the course of the year, which is great to see. I love that they're going out of their way to scheme him opportunities, and not just they've never, and this is a credit to Jacksonville's coaching staff, they've never just thrown him out at X receiver and said, sink or swim, pal. They've done a lot to cater his usage, which is good. It's gotten him, again, better and better on the job as the season's gone on. So I'm with you. Trust me, bro, right now. I think next year will be interesting to see where he ends up going. It's not that I'm going to be out on Brian Thomas, but I think a lot of these other rookies, depending on the situations and things like that, could end up being values in drafts next year.
And for what it's worth, the Raiders have not played yet as we record this, but they have allowed entry Monday Night Football. They've allowed the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points to wide receivers over the last 5 weeks. And that's his matchup indoors in Las Vegas, week 16. So wheels up for BTJ.
Okay, so take, you know, maybe the next guy we'll talk about here actually is probably going to fit into this, or not the next guy, but we're going to talk Malik Nabers at some point. But kind of give me your tiers on the rookie wide receivers right now heading into drafts next year.
Oh, man, I know that's going to be a tough debate for Nabers and BTJ for me. I mean, that will be very difficult. I mean, we're going to get to Nabers, and his numbers are even more impressive, frankly, just at least for the targets.
Is it really that difficult, though? Because one of these guys is going to be playing with a rookie quarterback, man. And the other one is going to be playing with Trevor Lawrence, which, I mean, Lawrence is whatever, but do you take proven production in what Trevor Lawrence is versus, like, I mean, hey, I'm saying this as somebody that was like, oh, yeah, I mean, Caleb Williams, he's going to really help out a lot of these receivers in Chicago. It's like, but he's still a rookie quarterback, man. And I don't know that the New York Giants is going to be like a great ecosystem for passing production next year. It'll be better than this year, but still going to have a lot of questions.
It's a great point. Brian Thomas Jr. should be number one. The more I think about it, Nabers is probably going to deal with the same problem, because there's no, you know, star rookie quarterback in college likely to help right away, although hopefully I'm wrong there. But that said, I'd still take a Nabers in the shaky quarterback situation than Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray running it back. So I would do BTJ 1, Nabers 2, and Harrison 3 for me. Would you counter? What are your thoughts on that, man? I've seen enough of this, the Murray. I'm sure he'll get better. There's no question, but I would gamble on the Nabers upside at this point.
Yeah, I would take Brian Thomas Jr., then I'd take Ladd McConkey, then I would consider like all of these other guys.
Okay. Oh, you got Ladd even. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, the disrespected Ladd. And I know he's your favorite on tape guy for sure. If he can stay. I worry he'll be the type of guy that's going to be banged up like constantly like that. But boy, I hear you though. No. I mean, he obviously immediately separated himself from the other players there, and he has the best quarterback throwing to him. And you say he's the best at route runner. So especially PPR, just eating those targets. So that's fair. Okay. So we're going to have Marvin Harrison Jr. be the fourth fantasy wideout next year off the board after going in the first round as a rookie. That is pretty funny.
You could also convince me that by the end of like August, if
Odunze
is potentially higher than him too, just because I think those guys have been pretty equal in terms of how they've played on film. Like, not perfect overall, fine, some holes in each of their games, but like I would say we're almost certainly getting, you know, Keenan Allen out of the mix in Chicago, and, you know, maybe a second year leap from Odunze, a second year leap from Caleb Williams. Whereas like, yeah, I mean, Arizona. Like, if Marvin Harrison Jr. learns how to catch a contested pass, I mean, I think a lot of these issues will be kind of off the table, and he'll be fine. Like, I actually don't think he'll be a bad draft pick next year. I think he'll be a draft pick I'd be interested in making. But just from a rankings perspective, like, I know who Kyler Murray is.
Exactly,
like, I know.
Yeah.
Whereas Chicago, I think you could end up seeing Odunze going higher just because it's the upside of the unknown and things like that.
And McBride's going to continue to eat the targets. But just to circle back, it's a very fair point that he's really ran well for Thomas Jr. to get these targets with all the injuries. That is a fair point. But they're all out for the rest of this season. In the next 2 weeks,
yeah,
I expect more double-digit targets coming the rookies' way.
Oh, 100%. I mean, he was one of the best picks at wide receiver that you could have made this year. Also on my JSN team. So, I mean, hopefully that counterbalances itself going forward. Okay. Let's talk. Let's just go ahead and skip to Malik Nabers as my next one here, since we just kind of touched on him. He's the wide receiver 10 on the season. He's coming off his best game in months, his first touchdown in months. Obviously got a boatload of targets against the Baltimore Ravens. Tim Boyle is now going to go down as a quarterback that has thrown the ball to Malik Nabers. We don't even know who's going to be playing quarterback for this team in week 16, but it's a good matchup against the Falcons in Atlanta. You know, potentially an interesting game there. We don't know what the Falcons look like yet on Monday night, because we haven't seen them play as of the time we're taping this. But how are we feeling about a Malik Nabers in week 16?
He saw a 40% target share for the fourth time this season. No other wide receiver has done it more than twice. Nabers 8 games with at least a 40% first read target share. My guy BTJ has 2 of those games. Tim Boyle immediately started targeting him after halftime, after you placed him, just immediately, and including in the end zone. He had a couple plays called back by penalty. Tommy DeVito, the no interception streak, whatever, like the longest in franchise history, is not helpful for fantasy stats, though. He takes a million sacks, the low ADOT. Boyle, I'm not here to defend, but I think if he remains the starter, you're going to be pretty happy with Nabers. And even to the point of trust me in these matchups at Atlanta indoors against Falcons and then a Colts susceptible secondary, just all the targets, man. So I'm good with Nabers, but let's let Tim Boyle, the lesser of two evils versus DeVito, start it out here.
It's brutal. It's brutal that you're saying like the lesser of two evils is Tim Boyle. I saw a tweet, and I can't remember who the hell said it, but like basically it was just Tim Boyle, you know, played like 24 games at UConn and threw one touchdown and 13 interceptions. He's played like for multiple NFL teams. Now he's gotten run with a bunch of different teams. Meanwhile, there's like college quarterbacks that are outrageously productive and can never sniff an NFL field. Very interesting, the Tim Boyle legend in the NFL, if you want to call it that. Man, I guess it's an upgrade over DeVito and Drew Locke. It was just crazy. Drew Locke, like, they kept panning him on the sidelines. He's just watching the game. They paid him all that money in the offseason. What a disaster signing that was. I guess it's an upgrade for Malik Nabers. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe damn him with faint praise. But just so many targets, and the matchups are okay. Not at Philly in a week 18, I don't like. But I don't know. I think Nabers is so many targets and no one else there, and they can't run the ball, and their defense has so many injuries. But yeah, the quarterback situation is why maybe we should say no idea, because we don't know. We don't even know who's going to start and just how awful they are going to be. But yeah, DeVito is really a loss. Cause though, because it's just sacks and never attempting the ball down the field. So that's just my thought of Boyle being a slight upgrade.
I think I trust Malik Nabers in week 16. I'm leaning towards trust me, bro.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's do it. Yeah. All right. Let's do it. I'm with you. I'm good with it, man. I have plenty of Nabers and love to see him finish strong.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Trust me, bro, with Tim Boyle as your quarterback. What has this show become? All right. We're going to take our first break. We come back. We're going to run through some more candidates in the Fantasy Bros Trust Meter right after this. All right, we're back. Dalton, let's talk through some more candidates here on the Fantasy Bros Trust Meter, starting with Joe Mixon, coming off a pretty rough fantasy performance, although he scammed his way to like a halfway decent outing, 8 points in half PPR. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it was his third game in his last five outings with under 2 yards per carry. That's not ideal. Also, he is dealing with an injury right now, too. The second time this year, he's been hip drop tackled. So that's potentially problematic, and a tough matchup on the deck with the Kansas City Chiefs on Saturday here in week 16.
Yeah, that's why his trust level is a bit more on no idea. He got 1.9 yards per carry with a long run of 5 yards last week, clearly battling that ankle injury. You said that hip drop tackle didn't help. So many other issues beyond his control here. The offensive line, Stroud, Tank Dell disappearing. Nico Collins, normally money at home. Yes, he had 2 6-yard touchdown catches, but no yards. Courtesy of Matt Harmon, you said this on the last pod, Houston ranks 31st in rushing success rate during 11 games with Joe Mixon this season. Mixon's getting 11.7 half PPR points over the last 4 weeks. That'd be the RB25 on the season. And that was despite a nice schedule. And now he's at KC in Baltimore the next 2 weeks. So some hesitation. You know, it's been some monster weeks where Mixon has carried you. But right now he's kind of fizzling toward the end of the stretch here. And not sure the upcoming schedule is going to help that.
No, I don't think the upcoming schedule helps at all, man. This is really tough. I mean, two of the worst run defense draws here in week 16 and 17 for a team that I don't have a lot of faith in, for a running back that's banged up. And yeah, a run defense or run team, as you mentioned, that like his fantasy scoring has been lying a bit all year long. So yeah, I feel pretty rough about Joe Mixon at this point. I think we have to do it a no idea, man, because again, can you realistically bench Joe Mixon? Probably not. Like if you rode him this far to, and you got, especially if you made it past week 15, you're probably not throwing him on your bench. Like maybe if you have for whatever reason, you got like a James Cook and a Chase Brown combination, maybe you could find your way to benching Mixon. But like, I wouldn't throw him on the bench for, you know, a hot waiver pickup, like a Jerome Ford or something like that. But we'll see what happens. I'm definitely at no idea, man.
Yep. Agree with you there. What are your thoughts on Stroud? Such a step back. Is it environment, combination of all? Do you have any takes?
Yeah, I would say combination of all. I really think the offense is just so whatever. It's very bland. The run scheme is bland. The pass scheme is bland. And yeah, they've just, I think one of the biggest issues that Houston has faced is that they tried to change their identity a little bit in the offseason and become more of a spread team. They were very typical Shanahan heavy condensed sets last year, two tight ends, fullback on the field, and that really pummeled a ton of volume to Nico Collins, who was awesome with it, and Tank Dell, who was awesome with that volume as a rookie. Dell was never the same player at any point this year. Definitely not to start the year. And you know, they wanted to incorporate Diggs as a slot receiver. It's a big offensive transition, and I just don't think that Bobby Slowick pulled it off. That's like kind of my bottom line thought about it from a pass game standpoint. And obviously the offensive line taking a step back from, you know, maybe a top 10 unit last year to a bottom 5 unit this year was probably the biggest problem.
Yeah, they need to address offensive line. Priority number 1, 2, and 3 this offseason for Houston.
Yeah, and I think if they do that, they can probably get the offense back on track, because I don't think Diggs will be back with this team. You know, he's a free agent after this year because they reworked his contract, obviously tearing the ACL. Maybe he's like a discounted guy, comes back, but you know, who knows what he's going to be like at this point in his career coming off an ACL. Maybe Tank Dell is better coming off a year away from the injury. I think there's a chance this offense can bounce back, but I wonder from an identity standpoint what it looks like. It did feel a little bit like maybe Houston tried to skip a step in their overall team build, right? This was a team that was the most surprising operation in the NFL last year, and now it's like, all right, now we're a Super Bowl contender, and maybe they jumped sort of a middle ground step there.
Yeah, and the division they're in is just hiding kind of a step back this year for sure. It's helping them, but obviously still a bright future with Stroud, but it's definitely not gone, you know, year two quite as planned.
No, and I don't think C.J. Stroud will go anywhere near where he went from a fantasy ADP standpoint this year, which is probably a good thing considering that was a pretty bad pick that you could have made in the summer this year. All right, let's talk about Tyreek Hill. Nothing good to say about the Dolphins offense in that same game. That's one of those rare games where you don't feel good about either team coming out of it. And that is certainly the case with Texans and Dolphins in week 15. Another whatever passing performance from the Miami Dolphins. How are we feeling about Tyreek Hill coming into week 16?
Same thing, offensive line injuries. Miami even more devastated than usual this last week, had to get the ball out quick. Tua has thrown an NFL high 25% of his passes behind the line of scrimmage this season. That's not ideal for Hill downfield. Dolphins target leader since week 5, Jonnu Smith 77, Tyreek Hill 71. He's coming off a total dud. But the reason I wanted to talk about him is Waddle's injury. I mean, in 3 games, Waddle's missed with Miami. Hill's averaged 12 targets, 105 receiving yards, 0.7 touchdowns. Fantasy production's increased 15%. And now Waddle's status is uncertain. It sounded like he was going to be out for the season. Most likely, at least, will miss the next week or two. But these aren't great matchups. My Niners, a home game, better than week 17 in Cleveland, cold weather, Miami. So You know, what do we make of Hill? We might get a reprieve with no Waddle, but can the offensive line hold up to even hit him with any of these balls downfield? And he's playing through this wrist injury, which is unclear if that's affecting his performance or not, but it sounds like it's going to require surgery in the offseason. But yeah, Hill coming off a bad, really down game, but now no Waddle, you know, some upside.
I mean, out the next 2 weeks, buddy, that is the season. It's over.
Yeah. Well, yeah, season's over. If it is two, it is. Yes, right. No, if you miss 2 weeks, that is the year. Yeah, just before we started recording, it was just a little unclear, you know, how long he is going to be out. But yeah, it sounds like not serious, going to require surgery to affect Waddle next year, but most likely won't see him again in the regular season this year, I would guess.
Yeah, I would imagine we don't. I mean, he's a guy who just has deals with like constant nicks and bruises. Why are you really going to run him out there in what is now definitely a lost season for the Miami Dolphins? I'm kind of leaning towards trust me, bro, a little bit on Tyreek this week. If we just like, this is one of those offenses where, I mean, my guy Malik Washington is kind of popping up here. That's been exciting to see. Malik Washington gives him a little something, but you know, Odell Beckham's not a part of this team anymore. I think there can be some pretty decent target concentration between like the actual passes. Forget the Mickey Mouse stuff to Devon Achane. The actual passes downfield, we can see some real concentration between Tyreek Hill and Jonnu Smith. You know, against your Niners, it's definitely a tougher defense. It's not one of the leakiest in the league, but it's also not like a rock solid stop unit or anything like that. Puka Nacua had over 90 yards against them in that disgusting Thursday night game. Crazy that Tyreek Hill has gone over 90 yards twice all year, but one of them was recently in week 14.
And the Dolphins can't run the ball, so the Niners, maybe they put up points and that turns into a fun shootout. Actually, it could. You don't love cold weather in Cleveland. I know people looking ahead had always pointed that out for the fantasy Super Bowl, but I'm with you. Is trusting Tyreek Hill this week, top 10 fantasy wideout with no Waddle, so I'm good with it. Trust me, bro.
I mentioned that Niners game. Cooper Kupp, 0 points. Were you personally affected by the Cooper Kupp game in any leagues, Dalton Del Don? He's probably too old to be on any of your rosters.
Yeah, no, I was in on Kupp. Not too many, but I actually did face him in another, which was nice. But I had enough Juwan Jennings and Purdy, and Kittle was okay, but I had enough of them to suffer through. Man, Puka has just emerged as the true alpha there. I mean, he is just looks awesome, unstoppable. What a tough player to draft next year, because he could easily be the fantasy wide receiver one, but clearly one of the more guys going to get banged up throughout the year. But yeah, Cooper Kupp, man, a goose egg to start your fantasy playoffs, and it happened on a Thursday night. So you had to sit there, you know, and wait a few days, but not a great game conducive for passing, Harmon. I mean, the rain wasn't exactly pouring, but neither side could really get it done for whatever reason. But yeah, Cooper Kupp is definitely not returned to form like I had hoped this season. And Nacua has just emerged as taken a step the other way and further into stardom.
Yeah, without question. I mean, he's the obvious alpha of the room. And I think that was always going to be the case this year, even if Kupp was a decent pick where he went ADP-wise. But what do we think about him this week? I mean, coming off this goose egg, where does Cooper Kupp fall on the trust meter? He's got a matchup in week 16 against the Jets, which they're a tough pass defense, but Brian Thomas Jr. just got rolling on them. I mean, that's great. Brian Thomas Jr. is a pretty different receiver at this point than Cooper Kupp. So if you did have Cooper Kupp on any of your fantasy teams, would you just be going right back to the well after the zero spot in week 15?
Yes, you are starting him and the Jets. Part of the reason I was hyping Brian Thomas last week is the Jets have had like bottom three EPA per dropback since basically firing Saleh. They still have good cornerbacks though on their team. So, you know, you don't look at it on paper as a terrific matchup, but I would go back to Kupp in my fantasy starting lineups this week coming off a goose egg. He actually had, he was wide open for a 59-yard touchdown in that Niner game, but Stafford just couldn't get him the ball. He has been the wide receiver 57 over the last 3 weeks, but he's gonna approach double digit targets likely in this matchup, and I would turn back to him. But with the realization that, you know, back before he was ranked right next to Nacua, but that's no longer the case. You know, he's in a different tier.
Oh, completely different tier, no question about that. You just think about the way these two players win right now. The Puka Nacua stuff, like, he can win anywhere. Right. He's a guy who is absolutely awesome. And like, he can beat man coverage, he can beat zone coverage. Kupp is pretty much exclusively a zone beater at this point. And the Jets are seventh in terms of man coverage rate on the year. They've played a lot more man this year than you might typically expect. Maybe that's Jeff Ulbrich leaning into something over what Robert Saleh was doing. that's a, I don't know if that's going to fully cause me to bench Cooper Kupp, because they still play zone at a 60.6% rate according to Fantasy Points data, but it could still just be another monster outing for Puka Nacua, who I think Sauce Gardner covering Puka is a pretty that's a pretty big matchup in favor of Puka, in my opinion.
And maybe the Jets, their offenses come to life. Maybe they score some points and it goes a little back and forth here. Aaron Rodgers, I heard, is like 7th in TD passes this year. That was very much surprising. Two fewer TD passes than Josh Allen this year. Is that real? That's crazy.
He's 5th in EPA per dropback the last 2 weeks. I know it's just a very, very small sample. But yeah, he's played like a top 5 quarterback in the last two games.
Do this a couple more weeks, they might just run it back. Wild what Davante Adams did that last week and the end of the game too. But yeah, crazy stuff. But maybe this does give it a higher scoring and that would benefit the likes of Cooper Kupp.
Dallas fires Mike McCarthy. Just bring McCarthy to New York. Just keep this Rodgers train rolling one more year. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Are you going to check out his documentary coming out?
No.
Hard pass for you? All right, okay.
Are you going to watch it?
Maybe I'll put it on the background. I'm not sure. But it may be more entertaining the awful year he's having. But I don't know.
He could be playing MVP level quarterback, and I'm not watching that. And this is nothing. I don't have like a strong feeling about Rodgers one way or another. Any of that stuff. Dude, there's so much content to watch, man. I mean, for God's sakes. Also, 90% of my television watching that's not football is done with my wife. And if you think for one second Mrs. Harmon is going to be like, yeah, let's put on the Rodgers weirdo doc. No, not happening. Not in this house.
Totally fair. Totally fair, man.
I would actually say of the two of us, my wife is probably more likely to be interested in some of the Rodgers spiritual stuff than me. Anyways, yeah, we're off the beaten path on this one. Talk about off the beaten path and weirdo stuff. But yeah, no, I do like your take from a football standpoint that this could be a high scoring game with the way the Jets offense is playing lately, with the way the Rams offense has played outside of that one nasty weather game against your Niners. So I like this as a, maybe it's like the DFS stacking game of the week, Dalton.
It could be fun when the Jets are just going to throw the ball, man. They can't run it. So, yeah, could be some points, and especially if Rodgers is rejuvenated here.
I'm going trust me, bro, on Kupp, by the way. I think I'd go back to the well.
Okay. All right. I won't fight you on that one. Like I said, he nearly had a 60-yard touchdown last week. He'll bounce back.
All right. Last one before we talk through waiver wire options. Panthers running back Chuba Hubbard. One of the surprises of the week that Hubbard turned in a pretty poor sub 40-yard rushing game. They were just not able to get it done on Dallas. I've highlighted the fact that the Cowboys defense is better of late, but still did not see Chuba Hubbard just pretty much doing nothing against this team. So coming into week 16 against a much more beatable run defense in the Arizona Cardinals, how do we feel about Chuba Hubbard in this game?
Yeah, what a disappointment last week. Carolina was favored for the first time in 2 years. Hubbard, I think he played all but 2 snaps. He's going to remain the workhorse regardless of game script with Jonathan Brooks out. But man, Bryce Young really struggled last week. What a step back. They played a graphic that the Cowboys defense allowed opposing passers. Passer rating was 126 without Parsons on the field, down to 88 with him on the field. So he was facing a tougher defense with Parsons there. But that Overshown was out. Diggs was out. Lewis, the slot corner, left injured. So it was very discouraging performance from Bryce Young, and that was the reason Hubbard's coming off the bad game. But then the next couple matchups, Arizona's been playing a lot better defense of late. But I mean, how many players in the league are projected to get the workload Hubbard is? Only a handful. So I mean, I'm trusting him in fantasy lineups down the stretch.
Yeah, he's a trust me bro player as well as Chuba Hubbard. And you know, the Cardinals are definitely playing better defense, but their run defense has still been much more vulnerable than their pass defense. So I think that's a good sign for Chuba Hubbard. I agree with you. He's a trust me bro player. I think he's going to rank inside my top, certainly my top 14, maybe top 12 running backs this week. I agree with you. Definitely discouraging slight step back for Bryce Young. But they don't have anybody in Arizona that can rush the passer quite like Micah Parsons. So that should help Bryce Young in week 16.
Yeah, fair point. Arizona giving up like the 10th most fantasy points to running backs, schedule adjusted over the last 5 weeks. So a better matchup. And Hubbard's been really good player too. It's not just the volume, man. He's really impressed this year. So I'm willing to still trust him, even following last week's very, very disappointing game.
Yeah, 100%. He is definitely somebody that I'm hoping to play again this week and keep it rolling. Week 17 matchup against the Bucks too. That's a beatable run defense. Statistically, they're kind of middle of the pack, but they've given up some good and efficient games to quality rushing attacks. I'll put it that way. So I feel pretty good if you have Chuba Hubbard for your fantasy postseason run that you're going to get some good play there from him. All right, let's take our final break. On the other side, we'll talk through some waiver wire options in week 16 right after this. All right, we're back. Let's take a look at this week's waiver wire connections presented by Spectrum. Every week, Dalton and I share a large, medium, and small priority player on the waiver wire. Dalton, this is our last waiver wire connection segment of the year, so it's time to finish strong on this one. Get us started with your small priority player this week.
Tajay Spears, who outsnapped Tony Pollard last week. Spears somehow scored more fantasy points than Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, and Chuba Hubbard combined. Spears only gained 5 rushing yards, but he ran 20 more routes than Pollard, benefited from a negative game script. The Titans' offense isn't good enough to support 2 fantasy backs, Harmon, but Pollard's ankle is clearly bothering him throughout the game, and it's been weeks now, and Spears has shown enough to warrant at least stashing at this point. And he's available in 56% of Yahoo League still.
I'd imagine that Mason Rudolph starts the rest of the season for the Tennessee Titans. They can't bench Will Levis and put him back out there again. And I think that Rudolph's going to be quicker to check down to Spears. And, man, Spears looked really explosive against the Bengals. I know it's the Bengals. Their defense has been problematic all year. But this was a good reminder that Tajay Spears was really fun as a rookie. And I don't know what it means for the future. But for right now, I agree with you. Really fun player that should be stashed going forward.
Totally, yeah. No, he made some plays at a goal line touchdown as well. And I'm telling you, Pollard ain't right. He's not right. Like the announcers were talking to before the game that like the coaches were testing his ankle right before the active releasing, and it was almost questionable if he even did suit up. Like he's dealing with an injury.
Yeah, I had to play Tony Pollard in a league, and I was kind of happy that I got away with 8 points in that one, pretty much because of the goal line carry. The goal line carry for Tajay Spears. Shoot, they had a. I don't know if you've seen Wicked Dalton, but they had I've seen some edits to him, the Defying Gravity song. I haven't seen it either. But, you know, Defying Gravity, him getting pushed over the end there, holding that ball out. Pretty impressive play from old Tajay Spears there.
Definitely.
So have you seen Wicked?
Oh, I have not seen it yet. No, I have not. No.
Okay. All right. Well, it's on both of our to-do lists after the season ends, I guess. Okay. My small priority player is, what were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, you don't happen to watch TV show Lioness, do you? We were talking TV earlier. You don't happen to watch it, do you? Because I actually ran into an actor on it at the Niner game. It was the highlight of the game I was at. And he caught me looking at him. But that was never mind. Enough TV talk. Move on. Who's your pickup?
All right. My small priority player is Jalen Coker. 2% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Pretty big development for Jalen Coker here this week. He led the wide receivers in snaps. He was second behind Adam Thielen in routes. And he was like more so outside than inside. Thielen played over 70% of the snaps in the slot. Jalen Coker was around 46, 47%. That was proof of concept that this team really knows what it has in Coker. He's a good player for them, and they have confidence in him playing outside. You know, when I charted him for the Reception Perception Rookie Report, he was like a 71.4% success rate versus man coverage player. So I'm personally not surprised that he can play a little bit outside. I thought he could beat man coverage. He can win a little bit downfield, but that was good to see that they thought that was the case too. I know his one big play came on a broken, sort of like busted coverage. Bryce Young moves out the pocket. A little bit of a broken play there for Jalen Coker on the long one, but still good overall opportunity from him. I think he's a guy that should be on rosters at this point because Young, while we just said he maybe took a step back, he's played functional football of late, and he is someone who like he can make some plays at this point. So I think matchup week 16 against the Cardinals, pretty decent one. You know, the Bucks in week 17, that could really be good for your fantasy Super Bowl. So I would stick Coker on the end of your bench.
You know, it's nice to see him be able to play with Thielen remaining in the slot, making plays on the outside. And obviously, no problem moving David Moore to the bench. And Leggett's had his issues too. Coker, man, he can play. Definitely, even if it doesn't help you this year, a name to remember. My medium priority pickup, Romeo Doubs. He immediately pulled down two impressive touchdown catches during his return Sunday night. Now, the Packers have gone extremely run heavy, admittedly, and Green Bay has plenty of options at wideout, but Dontavian Wicks and even Jaden Reed have seen lesser roles in the offense. Doubs has emerged as the safest option when healthy. Green Bay could be in a shootout in Minnesota during the fantasy championship, and Doubs remains available in more than 60% of Yahoo leagues because he just missed a few weeks.
Love this call. He's been their most consistent single coverage answer, ISO routes. I think he's definitely been the best receiver there. He's more consistent than Christian Watson. Reed is a slot only player. Obviously, Dontavian Wicks has struggled catching the football. I mean, great reception on the second touchdown for Romeo Doubs. I'm with you. He should definitely be on the end of people's fantasy rosters at this point. There might be some matchups you want to start him down the stretch. My medium priority player is Isaiah Davis, 17% rostered. Breece Hall got back out there, played a little bit, scored a touchdown. That's great to see. But Braylon Allen is now out of the mix here. He was dealing with an injury now as well. So I still don't think Breece Hall is fully healthy. I think there will be some potential shutdown risk for him. And obviously, if there's a re-injury and there's no Braylon Allen in the mix, Isaiah Davis has shown enough to, I think, be considered the RB1 of this backfield if Breece Hall misses time.
Yeah, Breece Hall had his snaps managed last week, gifted that touchdown. His bad fantasy game would have been even worse. Clearly playing through an injury down the stretch. Allen, not all that impressive. I think Isaiah Davis simply looked better. And can get you some PPR scam points as well. So like that call. My large and final priority pickup is Kendre Miller. You talked about him last week, I think. He led the Saints' backfield in snaps last week with Alvin Kamara leaving with a groin injury. Miller outsnapped Jamal Williams 26-6. Kamara's status is uncertain moving forward. The Saints are decimated on offense, but Miller has shown flashes he can play, man. And he's a must-add in all fantasy leagues with the possibility he's New Orleans' starter down the stretch. He's available in nearly 90% of Yahoo leagues.
Matchup on Monday Night Football next week against the Green Bay Packers. The Packers' run defense has been beatable. Even Charbonnet had a couple of big plays on them on Sunday night this week. So, yeah, imagine that. Your week 16, fantasy semifinals, Dalton, all comes down to the lead running back on a decimated Saints team on Monday Night Football. What could possibly make you feel more alive than that? So I like that call as your large priority pickup. My large priority pickup is Jerome Ford. He's pretty highly rostered, 46%, but still, a lot of leagues where he's on the waiver wire. He's definitely the best pickup, I think, this week. Look, Nick Chubb out for the rest of the season. Second year in a row, he's had a season-ending injury. That's pretty problematic. And I actually think Jerome Ford maybe should have been mixed in a little bit more. He gave them an immediate boost as an explosive play option when he got on the field. The Browns' rushing attack has been miserable all season long amid offensive line issues, but some of it has just been, Nick Chubb, I just don't think he's looked great this season, coming back from a serious injury. Now he's going to miss the rest of the season. So, if it's DTR behind center, I'm not exactly looking for like creative and interesting ways to invest in the Dorian Thompson Robinson version of the Browns offense. But still, matchup against the Bengals this week, he's just going to be in potential top 20 fantasy rankings this week if he's going to draw the start. And even if it's Dorian Thompson Robinson behind center, I think Ford will probably even more reason for them to get back to the run game.
Yeah, you got to add Ford with Chubb out for this season. And yeah, come on, Browns, do the right thing. Stick with Winston. Give us a couple more weeks of fantasy fireworks.
All right, this has been the Waiver Wire Connections on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast presented by Spectrum. And that is going to do it for this show. Dalton, appreciate you, buddy. Good luck in the rest of your fantasy playoff runs.
Same to you, Harmon, and to everyone listening out there. Good luck in the fantasy finals here next 2 weeks.
All right, we will be back tomorrow. As usual, Sal Vetri joins us for the final data dump of the 2024 fantasy season. Going to be an absolutely electric episode. Until then, we are out.